Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through Psalm 2 today. This past week and a half, I've been talking about the moment that we're living in the church, the trial the church is undergoing, and the spiritual battle, the spiritual conflict we're living in. And I've been looking at Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 over the first few days this week to see these two psalms are considered by many commentators like the introduction to the whole Psalter, which the psalms are a collection of poetic hymns written by King David and others, and they were sung in liturgies in the temple and important days like the inauguration of the new king and the like. And in the psalms themselves, many of them, some are called kingship psalms or messianic psalms, and this one, Psalm 2, the one I began to talk about yesterday, is a psalm that the apostles in the New Testament, for example, in Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John had been whipped for speaking the name of Jesus, and they regathered with the brothers, and they were whipped and beaten for disobeying the religious leaders who wanted them to stop talking about Jesus. And when they come together to pray, they quote this psalm. The book of Revelation quotes Psalm 2. And so even the people of Israel, before the Lord came, realized, you know, this psalm was used for the inauguration of the king, but also the kings fell short of what the psalm declares, right? King David, as great as he was not ultimately King Jesus, which this pointed to. And then in the liturgy and the life and the prayer of the people of Israel, they started to see in it the anticipation of the Messiah and the coming one. So this psalm, as I mentioned yesterday, is four stanzas, three verses each. And it talks first about the revolt against God. Secondly, God's response to that revolt. God's decree in his response as a follow-up to his response. And then finally, a warning to the kings of the earth. So let me read the whole thing again today, and then we'll hopefully make our way all the way through it this time. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will tell the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nation your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, O therefore, kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. With trembling, kiss his feet, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Again, the psalm is an anticipation of the coming one, of the Lord's anointed. And the Lord's anointed is Jesus, the Messiah. Messiah means anointed, right? And Jesus is the king who's destroyed the adversary of God and the adversary of the human race, Satan and Satan's power. Satan still has some room to run. The conflict is not over. We still have some battles to fight, but the war itself and what we know will be the outcome has already been determined by the king, by Jesus. And everything is in his hands. And now he's ruling. And Jesus came, friends, we pray. He taught us the Our Father. He taught us the Lord's Prayer. And here's what the king wants. He wants every human being to be able to call God Father, right? To say Our Father, and to acknowledge the Father's in heaven, who's God of all, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. He wants every human being, everyone made in the image and likeness of God, to be able to say, hallowed be your name, Father. We honor your name. We live in a way that honors your name. And then we have a petition from our heart. We say, thy kingdom come. Father, we want your kingdom and rule. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus came, and that's exactly what he did. This is what human beings were meant to do, and this is what Jesus revealed. For Jesus, his food was to do the will of the Father. He came in obedience, and he lived a life of radical obedience to the Father. He emptied himself in humility. He set aside what was his, and he became one of us so he could obey the Father's will, which was to send his Son to come and save us from our rebellion, our foolish rebellion against him. So Jesus is that model. And what he's done as king now, he has literally established the Father's kingdom, and it's present now in the church. And what the king demands is that the Father's rule and reign, the Father's commandments, his will, his economy, be accepted and received by those free creatures God has made in his image and likeness and made to follow him. That's Jesus' passion, and that's his rule. So what the psalm tells us is that the kings of the earth and the rulers, that is the powerful people, they're setting themselves against God's way. They're setting themselves against the rule of the king. They're offended by God. They're offended by God's command that it pricks their pride. And they say, we're not going to stand for it. So what did they do in their conniving? They said, here's our plan. Let's burst the bonds asunder, the bonds that his commandments and his claim on us communicate. And let's cast their cords from us. So they see the world and the worldly see God's reign and God's command, not as a source of freedom and joy and grace, but instead it's enslaving. It's undignifying. It constrains them. And so the world resists it. I mentioned yesterday how that's in some ways manifested in our culture today. It's growing. And so this temptation of the human heart, especially among the proud and the powerful, happens at times in almost like cycles in human history. And again, we saw it quintessentially in the Soviet Empire, which absolutely rejected God and with its laws and its power and its army and its police state forced human beings to try to live as if God didn't exist. But this kind of thing is now happening in the free world. It's in the democratic and the Western world, we're believing a lie that puts us in direct opposition to God. And the lies coming from the kings and the rulers, you know, places like the UN, places like universities, places like political systems that communicate a different worldview altogether than one that's consistent with God and who God is and God's revelation and who we were made to be. The new great good, the new law that everybody does declare is that the only way to live and the only way to be fully human is to insist on and demand our own self-creative freedom. If there's a God, if there's laws, if there's commandments, if there's a natural order, that is something that's forced upon me. I didn't choose it. My gender, I didn't choose it. Family, defined in a particular way, I didn't choose it. Right? So all these things that are fundamental to God's creation, presently, people are saying, if I'm going to be free and if I'm going to be autonomous, I can't accept this stuff because it comes from outside me rather than from within me. And if it comes from outside me, it's been imposed on me. And I must be my own master. I must be the one that creates. And so Pope Benedict articulates very powerfully how this kind of setting a whole nation and setting a whole new worldview against God and against his anointed. He describes it this way, calls it a perversion, this denial of God. He said, this perversion extends to all fields of life. What is unnatural becomes normal. The person who lives against truth also lives against nature. That makes sense, right? Because the source of truth is God himself. The source of truth is being, the reality of things. And nature is an expression of the reality of things. It's fixed. God made it. We didn't make it. It's not an accident. It's order and it's clarity, right? So the unnatural becomes natural. people's power of invention no longer serve what is good, but the ingenuity and refinement of evil. Just think about what's happening with some people's view and some people's interest in AI, for example, that what's needed now is a post-human future where we're part machine, part human, or ultimately replaced by, you know, AI. The relationship between man and wife, Pope Benedict says, between parents and children is dissolved. And in this way, the sources of life are blocked up. It's no longer life that reigns, but death. And a civilization of death has become established. To deny God will ultimately lead to a darkened mind. What did Psalm 1 tell us? There's only two ways. There's the way of blessing and the way of curse, the way of wisdom and the way of foolishness. We have the freedom to pretend that God doesn't exist or to reject God. He's given us that power. But we can't escape the consequences of that choice. And part of the consequences of that choice is a darkened mind. I'm deciding to believe in untruth by denying God and God's order and my origin of my being, right? And what I owe to God as creator. I deny it all. I'm deciding to choose for untruth and non-being, which is darkness and a curse. And it will lead to disastrous outcomes. That's his point. He's saying that instead of the reign of life and God's life, it's a reign of death. Remember, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, the devil's strategy is to enslave the human race through the fear of death. And when God's no longer there, when there's no longer hope of eternal life and there's no victory over death, and death is this black wall that's directly in front of all of us, it casts a shadow over us, what ends up happening is death reigns. Death becomes, and wielding the power of death becomes the solution for some of our most intractable problems. Drug suicides, or think about abortion and the fear and anxiety that emerges in an unwanted pregnancy and the panic and the fear. And what happens in the panic and fear? Oh, here's a solution. Just kill it, right? That's the devil's strategy. The Pope goes on, he says, truth itself is far distant and does not show its power, but the opinion of men and women is there and is dominant, so one follows it. Man fears the close at hand appearance of the power of human opinion more than the distant powerless light of truth. So people bow to the power of opinion and become its allies and its bearers. They become the slaves of appearance. Once they have begun to become involved with it, they must go on following it step by step. They can indeed no longer break free from the net of shared pretense. So there's a shared pretense that's happening in society right now. We're pretending, and our laws are affirming us to say, we don't know who we are. Every single child that's born is going to decide its own gender and its own identity from 100 or 150 and continually growing number of possible identities. That's untruth, friends, and that's shared pretense, and that's a curse. And this is what we're seeing happening in society. Friends, don't forget to call in for the free booklet that will be offered at the end of the program. God bless you. I'll talk about more of this tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.